Good afternoon, everyone. Test. Good afternoon. Are we on? It's all right. I break everything. Test. Are we on? We are on. Good afternoon, everyone. It is good to be together. It's not quite as hot, is it? A little bit, but not too bad. And so that always helps us to be able to focus. It's my joy to be part of this. By the way, thank you for the prayer time this morning. We had, in my little group that I was praying with, we had real intimate fellowship where we shared our hearts and really were able to pray in each other's lives. I learned some things about a person I know well, but I had no idea of what was being carried there. So that's fellowship. So it was really neat. So welcome to you all. I asked if I could introduce a speaker today because we really know each other. So Gene Weaver we're married to sisters. He's married to Marlene's sister. And besides that, my brother, two of his sisters are here, Esther and Verna. You know Verna from Ephrata Church. And Esther married my brother. So we married sisters, and my brother married his sister. So when these three couples were together, we were all married, in-laws and outlaws. It was, you couldn't even explain it if somebody walked into the group. But it was good. But I have to say, Gene and I knew each other back in the days, you know, beginning in marriage. We were muscle car guys, and then we were hunters. The family did a lot of hunting, and so we had all these connections for some years as good friends and family. And then the Lord was working in our hearts. And I remember, I think it was in the first year of ministry, I was at Moonshine. And Gene may not have been pastoring quite then yet in 75. It was a little, okay. And our wife's father, Malin Esch, he had severe diabetes through his life. He died at age 55. And this particular Wednesday, Gene and I both ended up there in the hospital room with him. We didn't plan it that I know of. And we got to be with Malin when he was getting ready to leave. And Gene, I don't know if you remember this, but sometimes Malin would go, "Oh." And then one time he said, "Oh, Jesus." And so it was getting very thin between here and there in his life. And we had the privilege of being there together. I think God used that along with many other things to have Gene and I both end up in the ministry. And he's one of my best friends. When we get to talk, God uses him to stimulate thoughts. And it's like, yeah. So I really appreciate him. He still is pastoring and preaching. They won't let him get away at Harvest Fellowship there near Denver. And he's also has, I guess, what we would call kind of a bishop role, a leadership role in GCMF, Gospel Global Christian Ministries. So he kind of, it's an association, not a denomination, but they credential pastors and kind of help them out. And also internationally, he travels and does some of that because of their congregations elsewhere. And some years ago, the Lord put on his heart for an orphanage in Kenya, Africa. And their congregation has been with that now for years. It's now a children's home. It's now a school. And went along with them a time or so for crusades there. And so it's a really neat, so his heart's all over the world. So I was thinking of a few very interesting stories I could tell. But somebody reminded me that, you know, he's going to speak next. So I think I'll skip those other stories. But we do welcome him, and he is a man of God and the Spirit of God, and we want him to be able to share his heart and his life with us. So let's invite the Lord. He's here in us, but let's invite him. God, we come to you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And as we've been reminiscing and thinking and remembering and pursuing your word on your plan for us to host the Holy Spirit within us, Lord Jesus, you were so focused in the last part of your life. You anticipated doing what you came to earth to do and then going back to the Father to ask him to pour out his presence, the Holy Spirit, on his people. And we thank you for that. And we've been meditating on that, thinking on that, celebrating, Lord, who we are in you, and also pursuing you to be able to walk with you in the fullness of what you would have for each of us and for us as brothers and sisters in Christ. So bless this time, bless Gene, give him clarity and enjoyment as he shares what's in his heart. We thank you for each one here. We pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people say, amen. Have your way, Lord. Thanks, Gene.
Well, praise the Lord. God is good, amen. Amen. I want to thank... I'm on now. Yeah. Okay. I want to thank Bishop Brown for inviting me, trusting me to come and to share with you. I have only one fond memory of him, and that was when we were on a fishing boat. And we went fishing, and we were just thinking about that, and I remember going fishing, and then he reminds me how long ago that was, and I thought, wow, I can remember way back there, but I had trouble remembering what I had for breakfast this morning. But we had a great time together, and that's the first I got to meet him, and so I am so grateful and thankful to be here. I just want to take a moment, though. As I look back over my life and what God has done for me, and then what he is doing through me as I yield to him, it's nothing that I am, nothing that I'll ever become, because without Christ, I am nothing. I have nothing to offer. I have nowhere, no goals, no anything. But in Christ, we can do all things, because he strengthens us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. But before I do anything else, I would just like to take a moment. Just take a moment, and I'd like to just thank God, because Psalms tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so I'd like to just take a moment. We're not going to have music or anything like that. I just want to offer up praise, and I don't want you listening to me. This is my praise. I want you to talk to him for a moment. Just tell him how good he is. Tell him all the great things he has done in your life. I don't believe many of us would be here today if it was not for God, his grace and his mercy on our lives. We would not be here today. And so he kept us here to be encouraged and to be strengthened, to build up the body of Christ, to take the word of Christ all over the nations and the world. And if any nation needs God, it is the United States of America. And we need Christ, and we need to... I asked God one time, how comes you send me the whole way to Kenya when we needed to do it here in the United States? Well, he didn't give me an answer. He just said, go. And I have learned a long time ago, when the Holy Spirit really lays something onto your heart, the best thing you can say is, yes, sir, I'm on my way. And let him work out the details from that point on. So let's just lift our voice. Just thank God for breath today. God, I thank you for your blood of Jesus that has cleansed us and made us righteous. Thank you for your goodness and your mercies, O Lord. They are new every morning. I thank you for the peace of God that it just fills our lives, and the joy, even in our hard times and even in a time of sorrow, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I lean on you. Father, I don't look to the right or to the left today, but I look to you. Holy Spirit, we know you are here, you live within us, and Father, there's nothing that I have to say, but I yield my voice to you, Father. I pray that every ear has an ear to hear, and Father, that you would have your way. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us through this time. I thank you for health and strength. Oh, Lord, thank you for the strength that you have given and the health that you have given me, Father. And I pray, Lord, that I would use my very breath to honor and to glorify your holy name. And we ask your blessing upon each family that is here, each individual, Lord, that is here, Father. Touch their hearts today. Father, where there is sadness, fill it with your joy because of who you are and all that you have accomplished and all that you have done. We just give you our lives today afresh and anew. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. Have your way here today, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I want to start with a very simple. I really enjoyed Pastor John, what he shared on Tuesday. Tuesday, he was teaching, and I had to think different times about how good it is to have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Do you not know that you are the temple that he dwells in? He dwells in you. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit dwelling? That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it now dwells inside of you and it quickens your mortal body. It brings life to your mortal body no matter what you're going through. And so when I heard the title of this, the week, I was excited about it. Hosting the Holy Spirit. I just leaped inside. Can we understand what that really means? God is entrusting us with himself. With himself. We are born by the blood of the Lamb through the sacrificial of Jesus. We are washed. We are righteous in his sight, not because of any good thing that we have done, but by his great mercy. And then above and all of that, he sends his Holy Spirit into our lives and in our hearts to direct us. And Jesus had a plan from the very beginning, and I'm going to try to stay with this, but from the very beginning, he had a plan. He had a plan to establish what's in heaven on planet Earth. He taught us to pray, honor God, rejoice in God, give him praise, give him glory. And then he went into pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Are you looking for heaven to come to earth through you and me, through all of us? That's why he's bringing the gifts of the Holy Spirit into our lives. He is knitting us together. I'm not a knitter, but I know how knitting works, and it just brings everything together. You ladies that knit, I worked in a knitting mill a century ago, but I worked in a knitting mill and how the threads just intertwine and it becomes stronger as it intertwines and it brings us together. The Holy Spirit, when he comes to live inside of you, and I'll get into this later, but I think I'm jumping the gun here, but the Spirit of God brings gifts into our lives, and this is a knitting process because I need what God has put inside of you, and you need what God has put inside in the Holy Spirit in each other, and as he joins us together, we become strong. We are demonstrating what is in heaven on planet Earth. He even goes to say that Christ in you is his hope of glory. His hope of glory is Christ in you, what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. Well, I want to get back on where I believe God has me going this afternoon. The Holy Spirit is not an it, okay? I hear so many people say it when they talk about the Holy Spirit. He's not an it. He is the third part of the Trinity, which is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How many of us believe that that's true? That God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why is that so unique? Because sometimes it's hard to understand, but if I took H2O and held it in front of you, in a liquid form, you'd call it water. If I turned the temperature way down, which maybe we could use a little bit of it, but it got down under 32, it would become ice. But if I turn the heat up to over 212, it becomes a gas. All three of them are the same H2O. It does not change the chemical breakdown of it. It just changes what it is and what it does. And if you don't think that that works, the next time it is about 28 degrees and it gives a rain and you go walking outside, you will know the effects of H2O in a solid form. So it is, this is who God is. God himself, by his Spirit, is dwelling inside of each and every one of us as we give our lives to him. The Holy Spirit is that third person of the Godhead. I remember, when I think about hosting, I remember one of the first times I had a pastor come to my home to stay with me for a week or so. He was from Kenya. And when he came, we were hosting him, and so we welcomed him in. But I had to learn a lot of things about him before I left him into my home. One of the first things that I remembered is when I go to another country, first thing I'm told, don't drink their water. Anybody ever travel? Don't drink their water. If you want to stay healthy, don't drink their water. So what I did is, I felt the same way for him. He's not used to our water, but I did go get bottles of spring water. That's what they give us when we go. So I got a bottle of spring water. I had a whole case. I put it in the cupboard. And every day, my wife would tell me, because I'd forget, she said, put some of that water in the refrigerator so tonight you could give it to him. So every night I was putting water into the refrigerator and giving it to him. Well, come to the end of the week, we were busy, I forgot all about it. She said, did you put water in the refrigerator? And I said, oh no, I forgot, I'll do that. He says, no, please don't. And I only remembered is they drink water at room temperature. And so I had gotten all this water in the refrigerator. I said, why didn't you say something before? He said, I did not want to insult you. I didn't want to make you feel bad. I'm a guest in your home. And so I said, well, what did you do with the water? He said, oh, if you let it set out overnight, it'll get warm till the next day. So he would take, one day he'd drink the water I gave him the day before until toward the end of the week. Well, you know, when we learn more about those individuals, their culture. Here's something I want us to understand. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but he has a personality. Now, when I talk of him being a person, I'm not talking about him being human. Don't confuse the two. How many of you know that we're made in the image of God? God is not made in the image of man. So we're made in the image of God. And so we have to learn what his culture is, what are his likes and dislikes, how does he like to dwell in our hearts and our lives? Do we make him uncomfortable living there? Are we adapting our lives to please him? Or are we taking him when he comes into our life? Yes, I believe that we receive the Holy Spirit when we are born again, when he washes us white, but do we recognize him? Do we honor him in our hearts and in our lives? Do we permit him to bring his culture and change us? To change us into his likeness. If we are going to host the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have to learn what are his likes and dislikes. What are we causing him to see and not to see? Are we spending time? I know when that pastor came, one of the first things I had to do is clear my schedule. I couldn't keep doing everything I was doing every week when he wasn't here. I had to devote my time to him. One of the things that I knew is I could not put him in that room and say, okay, you're here, I'm hosting you, I'll feed you, I'll give you water, but you just stay in your room while I do everything I'm doing. Is that what we say to the Holy Spirit at times? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad the Holy Spirit's living inside of me. But I got a life to live. When I need you, I'll knock at your door and say, okay, you can come out now. You can communicate with me now. Tell me what I need to know. God, I need a direction here. I don't know, should I do this or should I do that? I'm not sure what you're going to bless. So we ask him at that moment in time. That's not how the Holy Spirit operates inside of us. We're going to have to learn that he has a personality, he has likes, and he has dislikes. It is a deliberate act of the heart to recognize that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. It's an acknowledgement. I am not my own any longer. I belong to you, Father. And your Holy Spirit is leading me, guiding me, and teaching me. And so we are grateful for that. I must know his likes, his preferences, so I can make his stay welcome and enjoyable. How do we do that? What is the person of the Holy Spirit like? What is he really like? Well, the Bible talks about different things. Do you know he has a mind? The mind of the Spirit? Revelation talks about seven spirits of God, but if you actually study that out and look at it, those seven spirits of God is a completion of the Holy Spirit. They're all active in him. The seven spirits of God, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of, and I didn't write them down and I don't have them, the spirit of Midas one. All of those things are the Holy Spirit, and they're working inside of you. However, the Holy Spirit will never, ever force himself in your life. He will never force you to do what he suggests you do. He will never force you to communicate with him. He will nudge you. He'll say to you, don't you have time to pray today? Did you ever get a feeling that, man, I'm so busy, a whole day and I haven't communicated with my Father. I haven't communicated. I haven't heard from the Holy Spirit. So he has a mind. He has a mind. And so we have to realize that he has a mind. He's thinking. He has gifts. And he manifests himself through you and me. How will the world ever see Jesus if he cannot see Jesus and who he is through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Pastor John pointed out on Tuesday that the love, joy, the peace, all of those things need to be coming out of our lives. I can't imagine, I'm going to say it, I can't imagine Christians walking around with a frown on their face. Amen? Because it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And when we feel weak, we begin to rejoice. How do we get the activation of the manifestation of joy in our lives? In worship. You cannot worship God in spirit and in truth, that is. I can listen to music, but if I start singing to God, if I start rejoicing in God, if I start declaring the goodness of God, if I start worshiping him, praising him, all of a sudden my countenance will change because the Holy Spirit, as John pointed out, does not come down, it comes out. It comes out through us. Joy. Excitement. I can have a lot of conversations, and a lot of times I don't know exactly what to say if we're having conversations about a lot of things. If it's about sports, I only know a little bit about sports. In about 3 minutes, I said everything I know, and I have no more conversation. And a lot of things, it's like that. But if I get on the conversation on the goodness of God, wow, you better look out. I can tell you what God has done in my life. Revelation talks about we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. by the word of our testimony. The Holy Spirit also speaks. He has a mind. He speaks. How many of us are, you know, we look at each other sometimes when someone says, you know, the Lord said. Is something wrong with you? Are you hearing voices? How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? Through your thoughts? He speaks to you through your thoughts. He speaks to you through, in your Bible reading, he'll speak to you. Have you ever read a verse, and I'm sure, well, maybe not everybody, but as old as I am, I probably read it a couple times, and all of a sudden I'm reading the same thing I read 100 times, and all of a sudden a light goes on. It's the Holy Spirit saying something to you about that scripture. And we need to take note of that. You know, you can blow that by and say, oh, that was nice. Or that'll make a good sermon, so I'll write that down. And then we forget that it was not meant for a good sermon. It was meant to change your life and give you direction and guidance. In the moment of prayer, have you ever started to pray to God and all of a sudden something inside of you, you just start pouring your heart out, and the next thing, you're not exactly sure what you're praying about. You're just calling out to God. You're all looking at me like I lost my mind. Have you ever done that? He starts speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you the worst thing, till this morning's over, you may be angry at me, but the worst thing you can do is not speak it out. You know why? The words, your words either has death or life. And when you are praying and the Holy Spirit is prompting you, you begin to just pour it out. You say, well, what will people think? You know, I personally don't care anymore. I'm too old for that. I'm too old to care what people think. I care what God thinks. And as we begin to just release it, the Holy Spirit inside of you speaks, and he wants to speak to the Father through your voice. Ah, he wants to connect to the Father through your voice, through your songs of praise. Through your gratitude, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to the Father. The mind of Christ. How do we get the mind of Christ? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins as we pray. It says to pray in the Spirit, to pray by the Spirit of God things that I'm not even aware of. I've gotten to a point that I ran out of words to say to God, and I said, Holy Spirit, just pray to the Father. And all of a sudden, I'm surprised what comes out. It flows out of you. The Holy Spirit is speaking to the Father. And in that time, you're getting the mind of Christ. I'd like to give you just an example of that. Again, I'm going back to the testimony. So if you don't like the testimony, you have to talk to God about it, because this is an experience. And I just know it worked. But I was over in Kenyon. I got there. Oh my, I could take all day to tell you how the Holy Spirit leads you if you're willing to say yes and to go. I struggled with going to Kenya because I was never missionary minded. For a long time, I knew that God called me to preach, and that was a battle in and of itself. And I had to go through a whole process till I really yielded to the Holy Spirit. I was a truck driver, and I had a family to raise, and I just... But God has a way of communicating and changing your plans and speaking to you. Anyhow, what I wanted to say is I never had a desire to go on the mission field. And in 1996, I got it, 1996, our church was growing and we had to build an addition, we had to put restrooms upstairs. Pastors, you know what that's all about, you get kind of pushed into some things that you got to do something. And the church was full and we had no restrooms on that floor, and this elderly people had trouble going the steps, so we put this plan together, and the next thing we knew, we were building an addition and almost doubling the size of the church, and so like everything else, We had a bigger need than we had the finances. And so we went and we had to borrow some money. And when we borrowed some money as the building was done and it was dedicated and things were going real well, the finances were difficult. It was just month to month we were just making. How many know all about that? And so we were just making it. And it was at that very time that I was in praying and I said, God, you know, there's an interest payment every month going back to the world. It's your money. If you pay for this, I'll do mission work. You know, my idea of doing mission works was to go on a trip somewhere for 2 days and then come home again. That was what was in my mind and my heart when I made that vow to God. Well, I want to tell you, we had a 15-year mortgage on that building in less than, I think it was from the very beginning to the end, 5.5 years, it was totally paid off. Just totally paid off. We looked over our finances. We weren't sure where the money came from. I think that some must have came out of heaven somewhere in the offering plate. But anyhow, as I walked up the aisle of that church and I was praying again, God said, remember your promise. Uh-oh. Well, the next thing that happened on a Sunday morning, a man was driving past the church and he was from Kenya. Never met him. Never met anyone from Kenya. He was driving past the church and God spoke to him and said, I want you to go to church there this morning. And so he came and he said, he told me later he was just being obedient. And then he came and he sat on the second pew in the front. And I was sitting on the platform and I was getting ready to preach on that Sunday morning to take an offering. And they were getting ready to take the offering. And I'm telling you, my mind went totally blank. I said, I can't preach like this. God, what's happening? He said, you're not preaching this morning. He said, I want that man to preach. I said, I don't even know the man. And he said, I sent him here to preach this morning. So when we were taking the offering, I got off the platform. I've never done this before, and I have never done it since. I went down to him, and I said, are you a preacher? He said, yes, I'm a pastor from Kenya. I said, did God lay a message on your heart for our church? He said, oh, I'll share. I said, that's not what I asked you. Did God give you a sermon for us? He just looked square in my eyes and he said, yes. I said, you're preaching in 3 minutes. After the offering was over, he came up on the platform, and when he began to preach, he was preaching, and it just totally, totally began to tear at my heart. I said, I don't understand what's going on. I took him out for lunch after that, and he said he was from Kenya. He started telling me about the church that he pastored, talking about the needs, and he said, I believe God sent me here so you would go with me to Kenya. I went back, I started praying. I said, God, is this really you? And then he said, remember your vow, keep your vow that you made to me. I said, okay. Time went around, I made plans to go. I was gonna go over to Kenya. And I said, you know, I'm gonna go. It was a 2-week plan because he wanted me there for 2 Sundays. Wow, in 2 weeks, well, then I paid my vow. I went to the mission field. Let me tell you, when you start making a deal with God, you better watch out. What he has in mind and what you have in mind are not the same. And so he began to change my heart. I started going to Kenya, that trip, I went to Kenya, and it wasn't, he just let me go. We were staying at his house. I was in a town called Thika, and when we were in Thika, I was the only white person around. I had another brother with me from our church. So I started walking around in on the streets. I said, well, God sent me here. He's going to keep me and protect me. So I just started walking around. I started talking to people that I didn't know. Well, when they found out I was from the U.S., they all wanted to talk to you. And you could hardly get around town. But I started praying. God, what is it that you're doing? I started seeing children. I started seeing these children, and something kept tearing at my heart. And I didn't know what to do with it. And so after the time was up, I preached at their church. This is the most amazing thing. There was a couple that lived in town. They were well-educated. They had graduated from college, had some degrees. However, there was no jobs available. They had two small children. And in the town of Thicket, there was an area that was called, it was called the slums. Well, when you talk about slums in Kenya, you can guess the rest. And they lived in that place. And that lady and her husband, while they were in the service and I was preaching, she came to me and said, God told me I am to pray for you every single day. That God is laying something on your heart. And at that moment, I said, yes, to go home. I really did. I felt, God, well, I can't do any more of this. She had to walk approximately 5 miles to the church up a railroad track in the slums. I went to visit her because I wanted to know where this house was. I have never seen anything like it. Garbage heaps with children sitting on these garbage heaps eating. I know you all had lunch, I won't say it, but things they were pulling out of the garbage. And they were eating these critters for life. And so after all of this, when I went home, I was reading in Matthew, and I came across the 24th chapter of Matthew. How many know the 24th chapter of Matthew when it begins to talk about separating the sheep from the goats? This is what they have done, enter into, and this is what you have not done. Taking care of the widows, taking care of the children. And I said, God, all the years I've been in ministry, I have done none of these, not the way you're saying to me now. What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. I have nothing in my hands. What do you want me to do? And he began to speak and give direction. Why am I saying that? Because I am no different than any of you sitting here. I had nothing in my hands. I had no desire. I had no will to do it. All I had is the same thing you have, and that is the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You're hosting the presence of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. This is mind-boggling, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and all that he gives you to do is a guarantee that you can accomplish it. When I yield to him, I must recognize that he is living there. I must recognize that he is every good thought that I ever had, he has given me. You see, what people don't realize today is that there's good and evil. God is good, the devil is bad, is evil. I'm just being plain. We try to walk in between that. There is no in between. Our thoughts are either good or they're evil. They're either from God or they're from the enemy. Don't look shocked. You know there's only two trees in the garden. It's good or evil. And the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to you. When you receive Jesus Christ, when you invite him into your heart and open your heart to him, he is just and faithful to send his Holy Spirit inside of you, and he will give you direction, he will give you wisdom, he will give you power, he will give you joy, he will give you peace, and these things must be manifested through human beings. How does the enemy work on this earth? Have you ever seen Satan committing murder? Or has he put himself inside of somebody cause hatred to be built up, to cause resentment to be built up, and then they put it into action, and we see the response of the evil that's inside. So it is with God. God chooses to work. Why he did this, it's in heaven, but he chose to work through you and I. He chose to work through humanity who he has saved. So who is this Holy Spirit? He has a mind. He has thoughts. He has power. He looks for us to do one thing, and that is yield yourself. Yield yourself. He is living inside of there. Have you locked him in your room and said, one day I'll make it to heaven? The power of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit, the peace of the Holy Spirit, it's living in your house. Take the restrictions off. Take the control off. Let the Holy Spirit begin to minister these things through you. I want to tell you, you have the greatest thing inside of you that you'll ever have, and that is the third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He doesn't grow in the trees. He isn't in the grass. He isn't in the sky. We're not calling him down. John, you did a wonderful job on describing that. We're not calling him down. We're calling him out. We're releasing him from the inside out. However, he will change your inside. He can't live in evil. He can't live in defilement. He quickens us to ask for forgiveness. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but I got an advocate with the Father through Jesus the Son. And as I ask that, he will remove that just as if I had never sinned. It's not a patch job. Like I ran up the turnpike today to get here in a hurry, and I thought for a while I was a rabbit hopping from block to block. He doesn't patch our lives. He makes it brand new. You're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Brand new. And so this story that I just shared with you continues on and on, and I don't have time today anymore to go any further. But you have that same spirit inside of you. I know that he's speaking to many in this place about songs, about worship and praise. And when we hinder him moving through us, we hinder what he wants to accomplish in others' lives around us. We're not only harming ourselves, we're harming those around you. I want to tell you, if you're living with your spouse, one of the best things you can do is let Christ out. Hello? Wives, as beautiful and as good as you are, the Christ in you is much greater. Husbands, the more and more you work for your wives and think you're doing the best for them, when you let Christ out, you're doing a whole lot more than you ever imagined. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, which is his spirit. I'm going to end with this. You're sitting here so long and so quiet. I'm not sure if I'm nervous or if I'm afraid or what, but I just know I'm going to say another story. Want to hear another story? Okay. I was asked to go to Ghana, which is West Africa. I don't understand it, but God opened so many doors for me to travel all over the world. I've been in quite a few countries, did a lot of conferences, but I went to Ghana, and the timetable was really tight because I wanted to go to Ghana, and then from Ghana I wanted to fly to Kenya, and I wanted to do some work in Kenya before I came home, and I had 2 weeks to do it. Well, when I got to Ghana, the pastor there, he thought it would be a good idea if I got around to some of the churches that he was overseeing. And so I flew in all day, and I landed, and they picked me up at the airport. I never got to a place to change clothing. And he took me to church. And he said, oh, by the way, you'll be speaking as soon as we get there. They're kind of waiting on us. And so I preached that night and two more nights in that town. As soon as the fourth morning I got up, we drove all day. We got to another town. He said, you had three more services in this town. And this is the story I just wanted to tell you because I want you to understand how powerful the God inside of you is. What you don't think you can do, you can't. What he can do through you is all things. And as I got to this town, the church was it was a little bit bigger than this, but they had these poles to hold the roof up. And it was like three compartments in the church, and it was packed. And it was hot. It's not warm like here. It was hot. And I was soaked, went into the service, and I was preaching. And they tell you over there, if you preach for an hour and a half, that's your introduction, because they're there. And they want to hear what God's doing, and they want to hear what you have to say. Well, anyhow, I was preaching, and I don't even remember the subject. And this is what I want you to hear. You can trust the Holy Spirit inside of you. When we don't understand and we're not sure what we're doing or what God has for us, in the middle of that, just before I was ready to close whatever I was preaching, all of a sudden, real loud in my heart, I heard, tell them the Holy Ghost and fire. And I stopped. My mind went totally blank. Those are the only words that came to my mind. And here's all these people staring at me, waiting for me to say the next word. And so I said, okay, what do I have to lose? I said, Holy Ghost and fire. And it erupted. People came running out of their seats to give their lives to Christ. People who were ill were coming for prayer, and there was quite a few pastors there from that town, and they all started ministering to the people, and I'm standing there wondering what happened. See, here they're looking at you like you're doing something. You're not doing nothing. You're just letting the Holy Ghost out. You're just speaking what God spoke to you. You're just released. The Holy Spirit wants to do mighty things through your lives. Everyone. He wants you to say something to your neighbor. If they're out mowing yard and they're sweating, you know, we don't have to have church music and everything else. The Holy Spirit can say to you, I want you to say this to them, and something will happen in their heart because God was preparing it to speak through you. He speaks and we release. So anyhow, what ended up happening, and it was quite a service, and I actually prayed with a few people, but I sat down. And the ministers who knew the people, I guess, they were doing all the ministry. Well, that was the first night. I preached two more nights. The next morning, I was going to leave and go to another town. And when I got out of my room to come down to get a cup of tea, the pastor and two of the leaders of the church were sitting at the bottom of the stairs. Immediately, a thought came to me. You blew it this time. What did you do? All these negative thoughts come running in. And I was thinking, how am I going to apologize? Because I don't even know what happened. So I said to them, let's go and let me buy you all a cup of tea. So we'll sit around the table and discuss this. And we went and we sat at the table and we got tea. And the pastor said to me, sir, do you remember the first night you were here? Oh, boy. Yes. I do. He said, you remember that pole that was in the church? And I have to be honest, I remember. There was a woman sitting against that pole. She was a bigger woman, but she was leaning against the pole. And when I first saw her, I thought she wasn't feeling well or something like that. I didn't know. I didn't pay much attention. He said, that's my wife. She had just come that afternoon from the hospital. They had the family together at the hospital. They said her heart is so enlarged, she's going to die. And there's not much we can do here. She'd have to go to Europe to do anything, and she'd probably die in transporting her to Europe. She said to the doctor, If I'm going to die, I'm going to die at church and not in the hospital. I refuse to die here. So he said, okay, but you're not going to make it. They loaded her up, brought her to church, and that's why she was leaning against that pole. She had no strength. She was having trouble breathing. And then I said, okay. He said, the next day, they took her back to the hospital for an x-ray of her heart again. And they're not sure why they did that, but they felt to do that. And the doctor came out with the x-rays. And he said, what happened? And she said, when I heard the fire of the Holy Spirit, something in my inner part started burning like a fire. It went through my chest and up through, and it went out the top of my head. The doctor said, here are the two x-rays. You had a total heart transplant. It's not the same heart. And he came to me and he said, did you know this? And I said, no. I had no idea what happened. The doctor said, I don't believe in a God, but what I see here tells me there must be a higher power. 2 weeks ago, that pastor, not that from that church, but the pastor that took me around, was at our church. I asked him, do you remember that happening? He said, yes. I said, that woman. Now, this goes back some years. I said, that woman. He said, oh, you can't be around her for more than a couple seconds and she's going to let loose on you. She is on fire for Jesus. Her whole life was changed. Not because I know something, not because I am something, but I do know somebody. I know somebody, it is the Holy Spirit. And I am learning, can I say that again? I am learning that when he speaks, no matter how foolish to man it looks, God's ways are higher than man's ways. And he is powerful and he is mighty. His demonstration, the power of the Holy Spirit's demonstrations, lies inside of you. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. There's no little Holy Spirit. There's no amateur Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And he's working inside of each of your lives. We have nothing to fear except fear itself. God is a good God. I know I've heard the question. Every time I share the story, I get the question, well, does he do this every time? Let me tell you, no. And it isn't because of his weaknesses. It's because of not connecting with him. How important our connection, that we get the mind of Christ. The only way to get the mind of Christ is to be in touch with the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And I tell you, I have seen some wild things in my travels. One more story? I'm sorry, I get excited. This is about the first time I was around a miracle happening. And it was with my dad. My dad was pastor and I worked with him for 7 years as his associate from 1980 to 1987. And I remember something that took place with him. He had friends that he was helping out. They were older. And one night, he got a phone call from the hospital. And the hospital said, you need to come. Her name was Alice. You need to come to the hospital. Alice is in very, very bad shape, and she was asking for you. So he gets up and he goes in, and this is when the hospitals were, they'd make an announcement, visiting hours are over, you got to be out by certain, they don't do that where I go to the hospital. In fact, people sleep there now. Anyhow, he went there, and there was nobody around, and he kind of snuck in, And he went into where she was, and she was in this bed, and she was laying there, and nobody around. And so he went over to her, and he said he was going to pray for her, but then he thought, I should let her know I was here. You know, a good pastor will at least let them know he was there to pray, and we get brownie points that way. But so he wanted to let her know that he was there. And so he prayed over her, then he said, Alice. And then she opened her eyes, and he said to her, I just want you to know I was here. I prayed for you. I'll see you tomorrow. You know, God on your life. And so he turned around. There's nobody else in the room. He turned around and left and started walking up the aisle. And all of a sudden, he heard this noise behind him, and he looked, and here this doctor and a nurse come running after him. And he thought, uh-oh, I'm not supposed to be here. And so they said, stop, stop. And so he stopped. He said, I was just here to, no, you don't understand something. He said, I just pronounced that woman dead, and now she's alive. When he told me the story, he said, had I known that, I would not have had the nerve to pray. The doctor said, you can't go. And he said, oh, she's okay. He said, you can't go. I did everything humanly possible to save her. If you go, I'm not a believer. And if you go, you're going to take the God with you and she'll die again. He said, oh, no, she's okay. And in a few weeks, when she came into church, she wanted to share her testimony. And this was her testimony. She shared that she was going up, and the bright light, you know how it always did, and she saw Jesus. And he had a lamb in his arms. And this lamb looked like it had a broken leg and was bruised up. And he places this lamb in the arms of Alice. And Alice is holding this lamb, and he says, you're going to have to go back. What about this lamb? What do you want me to do with this? It is so wounded and so hurt. Do you want me to put it out of its misery? Do you want me to kill it? Jesus said, I want you to go back and tell them, that's what the church is doing to my lambs. I want you to bring healing. She came back with that testimony. Wow. God is not looking for us to destroy the hurt ones. He's looking for us to minister life to them, to minister healing. And I don't know how to do it without the Holy Spirit speaking. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I'm not a theologian. I can't tell you why God does this and why God does that. All I know is obedience to the Holy Spirit will always end in victory, even if I don't understand it. It ends in victory. So, now that I didn't go where I wanted to go, do you know the personality of the Holy Spirit? Do you know the love of the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you for all humanity that's around you? Do you know that when you see something that really bothers you, it's a good possibility God's speaking to you to do something through him. Let him out. Do not invite the Holy Spirit into your house and lock him in a corner somewhere until you need him. He doesn't like that. And do you know, we can grieve him by disobedience. We can grieve him by sin. We can grieve him by ignoring him. The greatest harm we bring to the Holy Spirit is ignoring him, limiting him to our style, our culture. We can't do that. Amen? I hope you got something out of this. I feel light. Now, I want you to understand in my closing is this. Nothing I shared with you has anything to do with me, okay? It has nothing to do with me. I'm a country boy. I have my share of problems. But oh man, I'm in love with Jesus. His word, his power. And I believe from the bottom of my heart, with great expectation, he's coming soon. There's no doubt. We shall rise and meet him with a shout. Death shall be gone. Life has come. Jesus is Lord and we are one. I've never been known for my singing, but that song means so much to me. God is binding us together, making us strong as he knits our hearts together. We got to lose our self-identity. The world teaches that we got to be who we are. We got to be who God made us. We've got to accomplish what the Holy Spirit is speaking in our lives. You've got great, great ministry inside of you. Don't leave this world without expressing it and declaring it for the whole world. Father, I just pray that you would use these words this morning to your honor, to your glory. Glorify your holy name. Move in our lives and our heart. Lead and guide us. Direct us. Father, cause your kingdom to be not only birthed in us, but released in us. For your name's sake, for your honor, and for your glory. I pray this in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who's our Lord. Amen and amen.